Hi everyone, welcome back to Global Voice. My name is Emily.
My name is Jeff.
And today we will be looking at the article, Finding the Perfect Cup of Coffee. So today's lesson will basically be talking about coffee culture in different parts of the world and kind of its history overall. A lot of people drink coffee. It's a very popular beverage, especially in the morning, since the caffeine kind of helps people pep up. It helps them feel more awake and more ready for the day. But what you might not know is that it has pretty old cultural roots that go back to around the 15th and 16th century. And this was over in the Islamic world and in the Ottoman Empire, so kind of modern-day Middle East and Turkey. And so these coffee houses, they first showed up in the Islamic world in Mecca, and then ended up spreading over to Istanbul, which was then the capital of the Ottoman Empire, which is now, you know, Istanbul is the capital of Turkey. And so these were places where people could come together to talk, to play games like chess and backgammon, and of course drink the coffee that was available, since that was the beverage of choice at coffee houses. And so it was this place where people felt very free, and people from lots of different backgrounds were able to discuss things like politics, current events, and even criticize the government without feeling fear of any repercussions. So these became kind of called these schools of wisdom because of all of these conversations that happened in these coffee houses in the Ottoman Empire. And so coffee houses being known as types of schools or places for people to talk and learn things, it's kind of a common thread throughout the history of coffee culture, and we'll kind of talk about how this evolved in some other places as well. So we'll be looking at England, first of all, where coffee houses played a pretty similar societal role as they did in the Ottoman Empire, because people from all different backgrounds could meet up and debate, talk about current events, that type of thing. So, I don't know, in a way it almost seems like internet forums today, you know, anyone can come in and join the conversation. So, the first coffee house in England opened in Oxford in 1651 by this Armenian man, who then opened the first one in London in 1652. So I guess he figured out it was a pretty good business and it was pretty popular. And so by the year 1675, there were more than 300 coffee houses, or 3,000 coffee houses all over England, which is pretty big number in, you know, not that many years. And so at these places, most of them for just a penny, which is not very much at all, it's the lowest denomination in terms of money, you could get a coffee and you would also get access. So you would have access to conversation and to the newspapers that were available for reading. So it really attracted this eclectic group of people where social class, which was a very big thing in England in those days and still is today to some extent. So social class in these coffee houses wasn't as important as it was outside of them, because anyone who could pay a penny could come in and join the conversation. And so since they originated in Oxford, these kind of scholarly roots helped to set the tone and differentiated them from places like taverns or public houses. And so Charles II tried to suppress coffee houses because he thought people could plot against him in them, but the public liked them enough and kept going to them because of these kind of rich intellectual atmospheres. And so that's kind of what the situation in England was with coffee houses, and it's pretty similar in continental Europe. So we'll talk about how in Vienna and Paris, these coffee houses and cafes played pretty similar roles as these gathering places for intellectuals. And so in Austria, Viennese coffee house culture is actually listed as intangible cultural heritage as part of UNESCO. And so with their filing for it to be designated as that, they described it as a place where time and space are consumed, but only coffee is found on the bill. So in Vienna, we won't go too much into it, but these cafes are like very specific to their culture. They have these very specific atmospheres where people can just sit for hours with a cheap coffee to write, talk, play games, read newspapers and journals. And today, even, it's still pretty customary for customers to just sit alone for hours in these cafes, reading the newspaper, sipping their coffee and their water. And, of course, cafes are also important in France, especially Paris, where drinking coffee is seen as a social activity. So that's kind of what we'll focus on in the first half of the article. And in the second half, we'll be looking more at Italy's coffee culture, since they have a pretty specific coffee culture. It can seem a little complicated to people who aren't Italian, especially in terms of the espresso bar. And then we'll move towards looking at coffee culture in the U.S., which was in part influenced by Italian immigrants and espresso bars, but then kind of changed with cultural movements in the 1960s. Coffee houses became a little more counterculture, and the coffee cultures kind of changed yet again with Starbucks, and then the wave of coffee appreciation that followed kind of Starbucks, which is very, you know, commercialized place. So, do you drink coffee, Jeff?
Sometimes, not too often. I think I used to drink it more, but it's definitely something I do like to have occasionally.
Yeah, I'm more of a tea person myself, but I do drink lattes fairly regularly. I've never been able to really stomach just straight up black coffee. What about you?
Usually I'll just get black coffee.
Okay. Stronger than me, then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't drink, like, just pure espresso or anything, just regular drip coffee, like from a typical coffee maker. But, yeah, I like just black coffee. That's what I usually get. But it just goes back to when I first started drinking, making it at home. Just maybe I was lazy, didn't want to add the other stuff to it, but I've always preferred black coffee.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty common drink in the U.S., right? Especially with, like, college students who are trying to stay up late to study for their tests the next day or whatever. Yeah, I've never been a fan of black coffee, personally. I love the smell of it, which a lot of people like the smell of it, but the taste is just, like, a little too strong for me. So if I was drinking black coffee, I would have to add some milk and some sugar. I couldn't just take it without anything else. So did you grow up going to coffee houses like this article mentions, or cafes or anything?
No, we didn't really have any coffee shops where I grew up. And so, you know, just any coffee I made would be at a restaurant or just making it at home with the coffee machine. But we didn't have coffee shops. I think it's changed a little bit. It's been a while since I've been back home, but at least now we have a Starbucks, at least.
Yeah, I think, coffee shops have become more popular over the years. Growing up, I didn't really go to them either, though I do remember going, I think, to Starbucks for the first time and kind of thinking, I was probably, 13 or something. I was like, ooh, this is so cool. I feel so grown up. I can order some type of coffee drink. I think I probably got a Frappuccino. But, it definitely has become popular nowadays. So let's take a look at the first half of our article, Finding the Perfect Cup of Coffee.